I'm setting this down in 1975. This is Cookie Franklin, Rick Deppis, Sunday after supper, the 21st of January, 73, Channel 1, right, 1 to 1500. This is on the new Cookie Reel number 31. The new Cookie Reel number 31, Channel 1 over, and this is Cookie Franklin, Rick Deppis, Sunday after supper, the 21st of January, 73, Channel 1, right, or the whole side, 1 to 1500. I'm marking this in 1975, and this is on the new Cookie Reel number 31, Channel 1 over on that new Cookie Reel number 35, and this is Cookie Franklin, Rick Deppis, Sunday the after supper, the 21st of January, 73, Channel 1 right.
Well, she asked me, she was frying fish, and she asked me if I liked hush puppies, and I said, yes, and so she said, well, we'll make some. And so she'd made the biscuits, and then I asked her, what you put in hush puppies? And she said, all it takes is an onion.
There's a bunch of them, didn't more, they didn't go. And after we caught this cat, about three or four of us went, Mr. Keith, Mr. Rudd. We went out that
night. Emma Keith?
Emma Keith. And you see, Frank, you didn't, you out met Frank. Yeah, you know Emma, don't you?
Yeah, Frank's dead.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Have a seat.
Let me stand up a little
okay.
bit. I've just been
Frank,
sitting and lying around
okay.
the bar all day long, yesterday. I feel I kind of need exercise.
I reckon you do.
And Mr. Isn't Frank that? Keeps not living.
No, he's been dead 5 or 6 years, hasn't he?
Something like that.
About 5 or 6 years. Mr. Keeper, he is the person to the cat. I told him to go through and walk through, and I'd drive back around on the other side.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well,
my toes are cold.
My feet are still cold.
I'm gonna take my shoes off and rub my toes.
I got mine cold. I got mine warm. Yours, excuse
yeah.
me. I'm gonna keep my cap on.
Well,
look at my hand that's beginning to feel old.
Mr. Weaver, come on over to the trailer a second. I got something you can put on there.
No, this,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I'll use anything on it. I'll be able to do better now. Just let it go.
You reckon?
Yeah. Just let the,
y'all gonna work a little bit.
Let the nature, clean it up, peel it up.
Yeah.
Lower that dry?
That's right.
What's that?
Did that dry out?
Yeah, but it'll peel off better if you don't wear it.
Well, I used to put Vaseline on them.
If it gets like this, I don't use anything.
Oh, reckon? Oh, it's all healed, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's healing up, you see, here. You can tell that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to stand up, Mr. Weaver.
I'm standing up there. They want me to sit down.
Well,
so.
You don't have to sit down.
I stand up. I hadn't
stand up anywhere you want to.
Today, either one.
Let me see. Ah, well, it's nice. It is indeed. Now, here it is, you see. I always say it's now, there's a whole lot in here about this is the cat. That was old man Judge pushed out there next to Mr. Rush where you was running that cat.
That big 32-pound cat.
A Butcher's Ranch.
Butcher's Ranch.
Yeah.
Was he
Judge Butcher's Ranch.
That's, yeah.
Judge Butcher's Ranch joined Ed Rush's ranch.
Yeah. Judge Butch.
Uh-huh.
I've been out there. I was out there.
Now, there's a little pond where they caught the cat between the two ranches, you see, on the right-hand side of the road. I reckon it's still there. I don't know where it's been cleaned up around now, and they caught the cat right on the opposite side of that.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
did?
Mm-hmm. I second. Go ahead.
Now, did he have cattle, Judge Fudge?
Yes, he had lots of them. I had Bremers.
He He's the one that had the brumming.
Yes, he's the one that run the dogs out of the field twice. Out of about one or two of mine went on across. Nobody else had ever went across the field among those cattle. Those brummers had run the cows, run the dogs every time they'd cross the fence.
No. Yeah.
And most all of mine came back out.
Would
do it. That's when you first got them. They got to where they says they don't pay no attention. Brennan don't pay no attention to dogs much now or anything else. Or you either one now. It used to be dangerous when they first got them.
You reckon?
Mankind, I'll climb trees from them.
Don't tell me.
Yes, sir.
Clumsy.
And if you get close to them in the dark.
Well, he must have had a whole field full of them then.
Well, he had several hundred acres of land there.
Uh-huh.
And he had... I don't know how many they did have. So I don't know, 200, 300, or 400.
Mm-hmm.
At least that many.
Well, that's nothing to mess around with.
Mankind.
Now you just wasted your time. You got this thing here to work from. You're doing my stuff. It has no relevance whatever.
Tell you, that little pond, they got a hold of that cat. That was White Buck that got in there first.
Mm-mm.
You mean White Buck didn't meet your dogs? Well, I thought White Buck was a big one.
White Buck,
that was...
White Buck's the one that couldn't quite keep up, isn't he?
Yeah, he was one... he was slow, a little slower type dog. It was my brother's little red gal and...
she was a little red Jip?
Yeah, little red Jip, and my little Walker Jip was one that,
well, that
followed the tracks so close, you know.
That was Penny?
Yeah, that was Penny.
Yeah.
And Penny and Beauty and Big Boy was mates out of Steve and Lilybell.
Steve and Lilybell?
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard of them.
Well, I didn't have them then. I'd raise these dogs from them and let Jimmy Price have them back. They belonged to Jimmy all the time. Steve and Lilybell did. But they wasn't in the race. I was just telling the dogs was running in the race, you see. See, still, I had to go back to the ancestors.
Well, what'd you do? You just kept Steve and Lilybell for
I kept them about a year for them, you see, all one summer for them. See, he didn't do nothing deer hunting much, you know. And if he wanted to go hunting, he'd come down and go with me. And I kept his dogs, and I bred them.
Yeah.
And raised some puppies. I didn't have about one or two dogs then.
Uh-huh.
And so that when I had this letter, I asked them if they wanted any of them. There's eight or nine of them to start with. And I saved six of them. I got great big puppies. I told them to come get them if they wanted them. They belonged to... One of them belonged to Jimmy Price, and one of them belonged to Gooseby in Gainesville. Jimmy Price lives up there just this side of Payne's Prairie on the left.
Yeah.
He gave them to me, but I knew he was going to want them next year at deer hunt with. So he came in the day before deer season, came and got them, got the cage and everything.
Yeah, but you kept the pups.
See, they weren't large enough to run, and they never did come get any of the puppies.
No.
And I lost them all but three. But I had four, and I lost them all but two. I sold Big Boy, and he was good till he was 9 years old.
Nine?
One leg off.
He a white and tan walker?
Black and saddleback walker.
Oh, black saddleback walker.
Mm-hmm. I'll show you right here some of the picture of it. If y'all want to see this or not. Well, now listen,
yeah.
I won't talk quite. I want y'all to go ahead. See, here comes us, the breeding back at that time. Let me come to start here first. Now,
okay.
Now look up, I think his granddad is in this advertised or stood in here. Y'all, see, y'all may want to ask me just certain questions. Don't want me to tell you about these other things.
Well, they all must look pretty much alike. They're all black and tan.
Which can you see best by, Mr. Rick? Can you see black, enough light that way?
Yeah, I can see all right. I don't need too much light. My eyes don't pick up good. Maybe it's in that other magazine, but I think it's in this one. That's a good part, being there at the house. I can go and hunt up something I want to see, you know.
Mm-hmm. That cat they struck there on that lake, well, then that must have been Beauty and Big Boy and Penny that got in on it.
It was all of them got in there except the lady. She didn't run it. I'd whipped her one time, I thought, to run the rabbit. It must have been a cat, and she never was running the cat after that. So I just brushed her a little bit.
Well, they just all come in on that cat at one time.
Oh, they hadn't got, they didn't go 100 yards from me until they struck. All of them went right on in. We turned them all loose, turned mine loose first.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's in that other picture, that the daddy, granddad, those dogs. In that other magazine, I don't believe it's in this. This is too far back.
Well, it never is in the one you're looking at.
Yeah, now
let me see, Mister. What price is that?
Jimmy Price.
Yeah. You mean the young fellow? Or he's not.
He's middle. He's middle aged now. He's down in the 50s now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. But he was. I was back in. Let's see. That was in. 56, I believe it was. 55, 56 when I caught this cat. That was my 50th anniversary of catching.
Yeah. But when was it you got those, had those two dogs of his?
I had them the year before. And
well, you mean those puppies? Which one was it? Was it belonged to, which was the puppy?
That was Big Boy?
Steve and Lilybell. Steve belonged to Jimmy Price, and Lilybell belonged to Goosby and Game.
Yeah.
And I bred these two. I didn't have but.
Well, which one was it? That pup was on the hunt.
Well, those pup. That was Big Boy and Beauty and Penny.
Penny. Mm-hmm. Penny. Oh, you mean Penny was just a year old?
They all those puppies are just a little over a year old.
And they're on that hunt?
Yeah, right in there and running.
Beauty and Penny.
They'd run up. Beauty had run up since she was 4 months old.
Okay.
Went no higher than that, and you'd have to catch her, run her down and catch her. She wouldn't quit. Coon or anything across the road, she wouldn't run nothing but a fox and a cat.
She wouldn't pay a bit of attention.
No, sir. I seen her tried. Mm. Right in front by herself, and seen her run where the coon crossed the road, she just went on, and directly I heard the bark, she had a fox.
Now that's Penny.
No, that was
Beauty.
Penny's
now,
mate.
Yes. You see, it's a little hard for me to just keep the name straight.
Oh,
so don't let me get you off.
Okay.
No, I'm just not good at it, Mr. Weaver.
I'm not either.
So, you see, oh, yes, you are. That was Beauty. And she was just a year old on that hunt.
Well, they may have been, let's see, they're just about a year old. I was about right. Not far from a year old. No, see, that was in, wept in the spring, and that was the 4th of July, my 50th anniversary of fox hunting.
Yeah.
That's reading it.
Of July.
Yeah, you
so
see,
she's just a little over.
She's a little over. She's about 15, 16 months old.
I didn't know they had enough sense to run a year old.
I bred and gave Frank Weaver a couple of black and tan, some of the same breeding as that Grady Hagen dog I had. And they'd never been out of the pen at 3 months old. And they was building the Interstate 75, and he said he was going to take old Sam, a groom dog, out and give him a little exercise that morning. I said, why don't you carry the puppies? 3 months old. Oh, he said, ain't no use. I said, I'll go with you. I said, let's go and get him. I got him, picked him up, and put him in his car, and he scared him, made him sick and irked.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Now, and what
the
hell?
Car sick.
Yeah, they do that a lot of times. And so that we got out there, he says, come out of there. I said, wait a minute, boy, you don't know how to train dogs. I said, you wait just a minute. I said, let me talk to those folks. And I kept talking to them, and they came up to me, you know, and I picked them up, put them on the ground, and I was shaking this away, you know. I said, just wait a minute. He got all right, and after I got talking to him again, wagged his tail, and I turned it loose and run around a little bit. I reached back and picked the other one up. It scared it, too. Not that it had never been handled, you see.
No.
We went walking on, old Sam went on, and I told him, I said, don't you say nothing, you just let me talk to these puppies.
Now, who was that?
That's Frank Weaver, my nephew.
Yeah.
Well, we got out there and we went on. I seen old Sam going on down. Didn't pay no attention to anything. Yet while these puppies was following and got near out of sight from us.
Mm.
He was going on down that way, and I seen him leave the road and begin to smell and run around out there. I says, Frank, we better get down now. Those puppies smelled a fox. He couldn't believe it. We rushed on down there, and there's this trail where he's crossing, going through a wire fence, and we had didn't have no collars on these puppies, and was going out around water lily where we couldn't go. And we crawled over the fence and chased him down there, and these little fellas was trying their best to run that fox.
Mm.
And trying to bark, they didn't know what to do. And we had to run way down in the woods. I had to catch these puppies, because if it went a little farther, we couldn't have went in there. It's so rough. And I told him, I said, Frank, you got to learn how to handle dogs. I said, now these dogs goes. That was one of Red Gal's and Grady Hagen's puppies that I gave him took the fox track. And we seen its hide pulled off on the fence there and its tracks and everything. Seen the fox. Well, everything was in there but the fox.
Mm. Well, Red Gal and Grady Hagen. I thought Grady Hagen ran with Julie.
No. Julie'd been dead a long time, man. That's all. Grady Hagen I raised him in making up about 15 years ago, about 16 years ago. Grady Hagen and Ann there making up.
Must have been a little
I had Penny there. and Big Boy then, but Beauty died when I lived at the junction with Miss Temper out there.
Mm. Then Little Ann must have been around then, too, running with Grady Hagen.
Little Ann was a year younger than Grady Hagen. Same mother and same daddy. Out of Miss Needles and Bruce Hagen. Bill Whitehurst and ordered him from Arkansas. So that I bred Miss Needles to him. See, there's registered dogs, you know, mm-hmm. And I'm registered it.
Well, then they weren't really much older than a Beauty or Big Boy or any of that.
Yes, it is. A Big Boy and them was about, theirs is about 2 years. Let's see, were they 2 years older than Penny and... About a year and a half, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Figure about a year and a half difference in age.
Who was it? I lost his name. Whitehurst. Who was he?
You mean Whitehurst over at Williston?
Mm-hmm. Is he the one that had the dog?
Yeah, he's the one that had Bruce Hagen. He is the daddy of Grady Hagen and... Cindy Lou and Bald Eagle and Crook and Little Ann and, well, Little Ann and Crook and Mayflower was letter mates. And I kept three of those when I was training, you see. And I sold Crook to a fella down here at, down at Oxford. He bought him.
What did you get for him?
$65. He was a year old. He was already trained when I sold him.
Which white horse was that?
Bill Whitehurst, the one that fell that airplane crash 2 or 3 years ago, going to Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and got in that tornado up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way they could ever figure it. He got killed, you know. Got in that tornado going down.
Well, old man Whitehurst, Vivian? Violent?
Violent, yeah. He's still living.
That's his son?
Yeah, that's his oldest son.
That's his oldest son.
Oldest son, Bill Whitehurst.
Yeah.
He used to come over here and hunt me around the Horn place over here, Billy Richard Ranch.
Oh, really?
We went out here cat hunting out there at the junction, and he didn't like cat hunting. He never did come back anymore. It was too rough on his dogs. You know, they dodge and hard to run.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, my, this lick, you ought to watch him. You can hear it for some. How they do it, a dog pack and beer, they run out this way and circle back and they go right through that pack and hide there, and those dogs go right on over. They catch a lot of them, those dogs just watch that and they catch a lot of them. But I've seen them and I didn't know when that cat got away, man. I seen it go down to the ground and I never could. I thought I was watching it. And how they can do that, but they're just the color of the ground, you know, and grass.
Yeah.
Bobcat is, and the dog will run right by.
Well, it seems like if that dog is running with
his
nose down.
Well, he's hunting for the smelling for it. He's not looking for it.
Mm-hmm. And so the cattle go on ahead and then double back?
Yeah, double right straight back. Sometimes jump up on a tree and the dog goes on that tree, jumps off, and takes right back track.
In his own track?
Yeah. They'll do all kind of walk a railroad track and the highway. They know that. But the dog can't smell him. If he ain't close enough to wind him in the air, they can't smell him.
Well, those close track running dogs can't smell them in the air, can they?
Yeah, they smell them 100 yards from.
Oh, can they?
200 yards.
I thought when you said a dog run close track, he just kept his nose in the ground.
No. He can run with his head up, but not run over track. When it makes a turn, he turns with it.
Oh.
That's called a close track runner, you see. He throws his head up. I've seen him not 10 steps behind the dogs in front. When they missed his track, they shut up. I've seen them one back behind, throw his head up and just pull right out too, right in the way the fox or cat went. They see, they're running together, training together, you see. I've seen them do all those things.
Yeah.
It's like, if you like it, it's good sport, but a lot of people don't care for it.
It's too tricky on the dogs.
Well, people just don't like it. They don't like to hear dogs. They don't like to see dogs even.
Oh, I mean, they don't like dogs. But what, Bill Whitehurst?
He liked it. He is a great hunter.
But he didn't like cat hunting.
He didn't like it as well as did fox hunting. You see, he'd get out there, and his dogs weren't used to running the cat, and he kept them all balled up all the time. See, they got to learn to run the cat. It's different to fox. They're altogether different. And mine kept on, and three of them never did get out, and they bayed that cat, caught it, but they wouldn't kill it. Was Penny and Brownie and Red Gal.
Brownie.
Well, Penny and Brownie, Red Gal had hung herself before that.
Oh.
Yeah. The Brownie was one of Red Gal's puppies.
Uh-huh.
Out of Big Boy.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember the names, you know. It makes it hard on you all to remember me calling them over, see.
Well, I can catch up after a while. Well, that wasn't that big cat you caught on your 50th anniversary.
No, that was a different cat.
Oh.
We ought to talk about one race, not get the other mixed.
Oh, that's all right. Mr. Weaver, this Bill Whitehurst now, but he'd come over here and hunt with you a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd hunt cats? Not necessarily.
Fox, most of the time, we run fox back over here at the Horn place. There's plenty of them over there, and I could... Billy Reed, the gate open, let me drive up there around the Horn place from back of the lake, you know, he's going down that grade
mm-hmm.
on the county line. I'd drive up in there and turn him loose that way, and there's a fox or cat anywhere in that scrub, the McIntosh, over around close to Zetrow's in there, and now all around Water Lily, those dogs just go on. I wouldn't see them until that afternoon. They begin to come back in.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't running somewhere. I just stay up there and listen for them. They'd bring the fox or cats right back around close while I'd kill them.
You and who?
And I didn't have to move. Sometimes I'd move and get the dodging wheel from me, and I'd drive around on the other side and this and that.
You was all by yourself out there?
Most of the time.
Well, I reckon you always went with a couple fellas.
No, a lot of time back then, people didn't go, and I had all those young dogs just training them, you see. And
I thought you'd just go knocking everybody's door down the line, and out you'd go.
No, I don't go out. If I have appointments and they don't come, I can go on by myself. See, we always turn my dogs loose, usually to track anyway. Of course, they had good dogs, too.
Who's
These
that?
Other brothers had good dogs, too.
Oh, Whitehurst?
Oh, yeah, he had plenty good dogs. He had about 18.
Hmm.
He didn't carry them every time I went, all of them. But he had 18. See, he deer hunted. He run deer. And the dogs that he ordered from Arkansas and paid $250 for, they stole some of his puppies one year, and the next year they got five of his puppies over in the scrub and sold him. He lost six of them and didn't get nothing but this stock of dogs. They knew what dogs were stealing.
You mean even back then they'd
Oh my dear. In the deer woods, some of the deer hunters always stole.
Oh, the hunters don't like the dogs.
No, they take them off and sell them somewhere else and make money off of them. Steal them, take them off and sell them. Is it like coming out there and stealing one of your cows and taking it off and selling them?
Yeah.
There people go around and do such stuff as that.
Has all along.
Yeah. Ever since I can remember, there'd be somebody every once in a while to steal or butcher somebody's cows or hogs in the woods.
And the same thing.
But they're much worse now than they used to be.
But the same thing about the dogs.
Yeah, same thing about the dogs.
There's always been somebody that
would steal them. And see, they go in there and play like they're deer hunting, and they're not deer hunting, they're hunting dogs.
They're hunting dogs.
And they pick up the dogs, and they can slip out with them and get by with it, you know. They take them away off somewhere else. Well, every year they bring somebody's dog from Gulf Hammock over in there, and he'd come up to somebody brought up the checker station over here, and a fella from over here took the collar off, got the phone number off the collar, and game warden wouldn't call the man up and tell him his dog was over here. And this other hunter did. He's a good, honest hunter, you know, an honest fella. He did. He called him up and told him his dog was over here last year.
Yeah.
And he came over and got his dog and all tried to pay him. He said, "No, sir, we don't charge people for that." He's a good friend of mine. He's a nice fella. Lives over here at Rochelle, Horace Tillman. He's Tillman over at Rochelle. He's a nice fella. He wouldn't bother anything. Look after your stock or anything. If you see something, your stock going on.
Tillman, he's not. Tillman. Who's this? Tillman. The name sounds familiar, Mr. Weaver. Who's Jim Means' father-in-law? That's not Tillman.
Well, Bateman.
Bateman.
Oh, his father-in-law. No, that's Crowder.
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 Yeah.
Crowder.
No, that's not Tillman. Well, now, the only other Tillman I know is Hannah. Joe Hannah's.
Oh, well, that's a deal. Oh, my goodness. That's altogether different. They ain't no kin.
Or resemblance.
No, nothing. Now, this is a fine fella. Over here at Rochelle. He was the one who told me about the game warden having my dog, and I said, "That's how come it didn't burn my car up trying to get over to catch him. Get him before he got done something with him." And when they found him, he was in Gainesville in the hospital. Got hit way back out west of Gainesville, way on the other side of Winders, where I left him at, where I turned loose, and he was running. He wasn't supposed to go there by himself. Couldn't have made it save his life on those highways. Got that with somebody had to carry that dog.
All the way to where?
To the 16th Avenue North, up 13th Street, 16th Avenue in Gainesville.
Oh.
He couldn't have went all through all
you
that.
You don't mean that's where he got hit?
Yeah, that's where he got hit at. Right over
there by the veterinary.
Yeah, and I'm following me running there, and over there, right there at, what's that, junior high school?
Oh, yeah.
Santa Fe Junior High School. And this lady was trying to catch him. If they get loose, they don't catch him easy.
Okay.
Now, and he got away from her, who had got him, I guess, and she was trying to catch this dog. See, I'd called up and never, I don't know, I haven't found out yet, I haven't been up to see him yet. How come the dog got there? We can't get no trace. How come in there?
Yeah.
And she rushed him to the hospital, and the veterinary, he had my name on the call, and the veterinary wouldn't take him in and had her to call me. And he wouldn't take him in until I okayed it.
Yeah. That is, he was working in favor of the owner.
Yeah.
He'd had experience.
He must have been a nice fella because he sure went ahead and just me and didn't know me and talking over the phone. See, I'd had that summer cold. I was in such a bad shape and my car tore up and I couldn't go nowhere. And I'd been up so much trying to find that dog when I shouldn't have been. And so he had her to call me, the lady that brought him in to call me and talk to me. They called me, wanted me to call me over there from Frank's place, and I went over and talked to her. And he said he wanted to talk to him, and I talked to him. He said, told me how the dog was hit. Said,
Mr. Weaver, let me tell you, we can't use that.
Okay.
I don't use any of your misfortunes.
Well, I know, but I mean, I want you to ask me the questions that you wanted me to answer best way.
Well, the world's full of misfortunes. There's no use transferring it at all. we got the idea from this little hunt. Now, you see, all this here is on that, is what you told us. All this, that's all this paper here.
Is that one hunt?
That's just that one hunt. Everything.
It is.
Yeah, and well, almost everything is what you said. They're as close to it as I could get, you see.
Yeah.
I just sort of put it together. Now, this is the fullest one we've got so far. Rick worked on some of them where the material wasn't as good. And we're kind of learning how now.
Well, that's the way you got to do it.
Yeah.
And ask me question what you want me to answer, and I'll try to not answer them too quick for you. See, that had a lot to do with it. And dictating to anyone is not me not getting too fast and jumping off. I'm too bad to jump from one thing to another.
Well, we got the tape on now. We can study it.
Can study it?
We can look at it.
Well,
but over your house is a little harder. I see. Rick's done the work on it. I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of went along with him.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you see, he had the wrong idea about this close track.
Track running, you see.
Yes.
That's reading. He needs to go hunting.
Yes.
And see it himself, didn't you? It's like that fella told you about, you know, you had to be a fox hunter to know the value of a dog.
That's right.
You see, a dog, you couldn't sell it for $50, but you wouldn't sell it for $500 if it's yours.
Yeah.
Because it's just what you want.
Yeah.
Worth that. Yeah. And that's the way those people, most of the people that does this big hunting, they don't, somebody else looks at the dogs all the time.
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask me the question. We don't get.
Well, now you take a fellow like Price up there. He's in the Whitehurst family too.
Yeah.
He
tell me he's quit hunting. Yeah, the way they got the law on these deer hunters and all like that, making everybody pay such a big price to hunt this little spot, hunt that little spot. The old crossroad wall, you can't go and get your dog. Well, it's a shame the way that they've got this messed up now.
Yeah.
A lot of them didn't buy a license.
Well, now, where did he get to the hunting, Mr. Weaver? Did he learn it from the Whitehurst?
Well, I don't know. I think he had hunted from a boy on up like I had.
Uh-huh.
See, my uncles was hunters, and I had friends and cousins, and all of them was hunters. I was just born to hunt. My oldest brother and I, we was great hunters.
Oh, really?
He was 10 years older than I was.
Oh.
And, so he is one got the dogs. He got up and when he got to where he's teaching school, he bought him some good dogs.
Oh, yeah. Got a little money in the family.
And, my dad and his large family of us, they couldn't hardly afford it, but they kept a couple of dogs all the time.
Yeah.
what's the difference in feeding good dogs and sorrens? That's the way I looked at it.
That's right.
I'll tell one thing on me, you know, most everybody stole, haven't they?
Yeah.
I've stole a many biscuit and slipped them and cornbread and slipped them in the pocket and fed the dog. That sounds good in the letter, you know, people laugh about that, and a lot of other boys has too, I guess.
Yeah, I reckon so.
I wouldn't let it waste, you know, I wouldn't leave it. I wanted the dough to get it, and I'd slip it in my pocket, you know, and carry it.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, I said this, we talked about this over at your house, we talked about it, now we have a record of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, I got this material, and look how long it's taken me to do it. And Rick's got some material, and he hadn't worked up any of the good material he's got. So, now here's the thing, you see, if something happened to you, it'd be almost impossible to use this material. You see, your family, they may not give a darn about you now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they do or they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean other people's families, I've seen it work.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, once you've gone, they act as if they just owned you. And they'll take it over, and we can't use any of your material, you see. They'd take you to court for
mm-hmm.
using it. And all we're trying to do is just...
Just to make a store and write it out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, we got a whole lot of material. And if I don't use it,
he
can use it. But
it's like those little magazine articles you wrote. You know, they can use it.
But you see, the thing of it is, we got to have some little protection against your heirs.
Mm-hmm.
And in other people's cases, the heirs take over, act like they may not pay attention to while you're living, but when you're dead, they just take over.
Well, sometimes they grab
it
there and they don't even come see you until you're dead. Then they'll come in and they got to sign the papers about if you've got any property or anything. Well, one thing I haven't got, I'm not worth enough to hurt nobody much. But
yeah, but this material here, they'll figure that what we got here is worth a whole lot of money,
you see. Some will do that.
And that they're the ones that do that, you
mm-hmm.
see. Well, if not.
No, they don't do it, have anything to do with it.
Well, but you see, if you ain't here, they will.
What I wanted you all to do is just to write this, and if you can... Now if you get it where they like it, you know, sometimes they'll give this boy a job of writing for that hunter's son or somebody.
Well, now, you see, we got other little things, too.
Uh-huh.
You see, that little story about Mr. Bonner.
That's a good one, too.
Oh, yeah.
I treat, I told it because I figured maybe the...
And this thing about the chiropractor... That's
mm-hmm.
one of the most interesting things I ever got into.
Well, isn't that a way to do now?
And you see, the young people now, they don't know to do that.
That's right.
If they go to chiropractor, they won't pay attention to what he does.
What he says?
Yeah.
Well, you see, I only went twice now. I carried a lot of people to him, advised them to go to him.
Yeah.
And I've carried a lot of people to him. Now, only way to do, there used to be a weaver up there. If he's interrelated to me, I don't know anything about it. He was good.
Yeah.
People liked him. I've had patience
to
him.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
But I bet none paid attention like you did.
Well, you've got to go in there. Now, listen. If they get it's lots of punishment, don't think it ain't. But you won't learn nothing if you don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main thing. I want to learn how to use it on myself, and I use it on myself.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I don't prove nobody.
It kind of kept you alive, hasn't it?
Oh, man, kind of. It knocked a new pain out of me.
Let me tell you, you can do that yourself. To your dogs, now this Ed Price, I just know him when I see him.
Jimmy Price, yeah.
Right this side of the prairie.
Uh-huh.
But now he been running dogs. He grew up running them like you did.
I reckon he did because first time they had dogs, he'd been hunting. He must have been hunting when he was a boy coming up because when he married... Charlie Whitehurst's daughter. When he moved up there, you see, Lynn Keel and a bunch of we all hunted together a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
They used to like to kid me about my dogs, you know.
You mean when he moved up there on the prairie?
Yeah. When he married his daughter, went to work in He may have been, wasn't it, the prairie before they married. I don't remember about that. He had a safe word. How come?
Well, now that they had a dairy up there.
Oh, they had a big dairy. They put out some of the best milk and chocolate milk.
But the Whitehurst owned that.
Yeah, Charlie Whitehurst.
Charlie Whitehurst owned it.
Yeah, brother at Violin over here.
Oh, he's
and Bill brother. Over at Archer was a big watermelon man.
Yeah.
Bill Whitehurst. Back
but Bill was their son.
No, it was brothers.
Brothers? It was Violin?
Bill, Charlie, and Vivian. I believe Vivian was the youngest one of them, yeah. I used to handle watermelons for... So
Jimmy Price is Charlie's boy.
Son-in-law.
Son-in-law, yeah.
Son-in-law. Jimmy Price is son-in-law.
Yeah.
Lady's youngest daughter.
Well, now, Vivian and Bill, he was the hunter of the three.
Well, Bill, yeah, he had more dogs than he had... He had many more dogs than they did.
Jimmy and them.
Bill and Vivian and all of them, they had the dogs together, but Bill's one had that part to look at.
Yeah.
And by the dogs, they all hunted. They went. Vivian is a big deer hunter, too.
Was he?
Yeah, he's got him some deer and stuff fenced in.
In his own place over
there. Yeah, his own place over there. Yeah. I used to handle cabbage for him and his produce for him when I was in the produce business.
Yeah.
So it was on a commission.
Yeah.
Sellers field, truck driver, it all they could cut out of that cutting, you know, or anywhere he wanted.
Well, now he's got deer over there, because you don't hunt, you don't run deer. You run.
No, I don't care much about it.
But you could go over there on his place and run a fox.
But they don't, you've got to have, permission to go in on places like that, and there's so many fences in those places.
Yeah.
If they knew it was me, if all over the country, most of the people that knows me, if they knew it was me, they wouldn't bother my dog.
Yeah.
But they don't know whose dog it is sometimes and kill it.
Yeah. They don't look at the name on it.
No. Well, it's kind of like I told the game warden, they had these little spots where that that is. They're still hunting, and your dogs ain't allowed to go on it. I told them, I said, my dogs can't read nor write either one.
Yeah.
They don't know any better. And they tell me that they give you a right to shoot the dogs over in that little spot.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes on it. Well, deer go 40 miles sometimes. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair to kill a man's dog like that. Go ahead and get back on what you all want to.
Well, we're doing nice, you see, because we're interested in the hunters as much as the dogs.
Yeah. Well, you've got to get the both of them to get the meaning of one of them.
Now, let's see. It was Jimmy Price's dog.
That he got Beauty and Big Boy from.
Yeah.
Now, bred...
Jimmy Price and the other fella.
Yeah, bred Steve to Lilybell.
Uh-huh.
And Lilybell belonged... that was Goosby's dog, but I kept both of them for him.
They're Walker hounds.
Yeah, they're full-blooded Walkers.
What Goosby is that, Mr. Weaver?
What's that?
What Goosby is that?
Goosby, he's moved over to Chieflin. He lives in Chieflin. Now, he runs a service station right there on... North Main Street West. You know, there used to be a service station right there close to in front of the bank. They may have tore that all down and built something else there now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's still there or not. But Goosby used to run that service station right there, Standard Oil Station.
Well, the only Goosby I've ever heard of is the one who was a printer up there in Gainesville.
Well, that may be related to this Goosby, I don't know.
I ran into him one time, but I didn't. I don't know him. But now, let me see. Now, which dog have we gone into the most, Rick?
Well, for that big cat hunt. I guess the most we know is Red Gal.
Red Jowl and Penny, the old those were good dogs. You take Mr. Rush, the dog was 8 years old, but he is still good, you know.
Is that that three-legged dog?
No.
Thunder.
No. Well, Thunder was in there. He was a good dog. He belonged to me, but I was letting Ned keep him because he didn't have but about two or three dogs, you know.
Which one was it? Was
Thunder
it,
was my dog.
Was the Blue Buck or three?
Blue Buck belonged to Ed Rush.
Was it White?
And White Buck was Keith. See, now I said Blue Buck and White Buck, and so you know which dog
was
talking.
Blue Buck that was three-legged?
No, it was a young dog he had. What had had his front foot hurt and the screw on his foot up, and he'd still run on and took that leg and run on it, and he was the one that hadn't. See, he had a young dog and he run, and the cat was sitting down on him fighting the other dogs, and he was lying down hollering, you know, and him keep walked up.
Well, who was that dog?
That's the one I told you about it before.
No, I
belonged to Ed Rush. That was Mr. Rush's young dog.
That was his dog.
See, he just had those two dogs, you know, and then they had to keep an old Thunder, my dog.
Blue Buck and the three-legged. Oh, what was the three-legged?
I've forgotten his name, but anyway, he was a crippled dog.
And he was just a young dog.
Yeah. And he was a good dog, too, but he didn't.
He was a blue tick dog?
What'd I say?
He was a blue tick.
No, he's a blue speckled dog.
Blue speckled?
Yeah.
I thought blue tip.
Well, not all of them. You can cross Walker and a black and tan, and you have blue speckled dogs in there.
Uh-huh.
And some of them call them blue ticks. I know a lot of people sold the dogs for blue ticks, and there's Walkers and Julys crossed because I knew the dogs and hunted with both of them.
Oh, that blue speckled blue tick isn't the same thing.
No, you can take a black and tan dog and cross it there. Black and tan color dog, and you'll get some speckled dogs we're breeding to my dogs up there.
Oh.
That gives that white, and that gives them specks, you see.
Oh, well, what makes blue speckled?
Well, now, then they call the blue tick dog. Now, that's really a tree dog they bred in with the blue speckled dogs, you know, and bred the colors, you see. Just like some of breeds black and tan walkers. See, I got some parts that's got a little dark on them because I crossed out with one dog with this color. I didn't like it. I went to breed to another dog, and he'd sold this dog, but this was a good blooded dog and had the breeding I wanted in it, but it didn't have the color. I hadn't been bred the color I wanted.
Well, what do you do to get a black blue speckle?
Blue speckle breed to a white dog. And I'll give you, or you'll get some blue speckles in there. You can be able to breed to a red dog, and you get red speckled dogs.
I thought blue speckled was a kind of dog, like a walker is a kind
of
dog.
Well, it's just been bred up. All colors just been bred that color, you see. You like white, these cattle out here, you can cross that in with black things, you have different colors, won't you?
Sure.
Some of them be spotted.
So blue speckled isn't a pure blood dog like a walker is?
Well, they bred those dogs and went to register them, and they call them blue ticks, but ever a speckled dog isn't a blue tick. Just like Mitchell Boyd brought a speckled dog around there and bred Dan, and he got some blue speckled dogs.
Uh-huh.
And they took their speckled after that color of dog.
Oh.
What did Mitchell do with them?
He still hunted a little bit. He hadn't hunted this year. They got to such a bad shape. He said, told me the other day, he's going to get rid of his dogs because there's no place to hunt them. He deer hunted some. That's all that he's ever done is deer hunt.
Yeah. He don't care about the other.
No, he don't care nothing about fox data. He's busy. He don't have time, really. And
oh, yeah.
His brother Doug now likes fox and cat hunt.
Yeah. Well, now the other boy that used to work out there for Zetrava.
Thomas. He doesn't hunt much. He used to like to hog hunt, really.
Yes.
He kept bulldogs and hog hunting.
Oh, yes. And then he had horses.
Yeah, and they're out there. You see, they only get the hogs out, kill them out off the pastures out there. There used to be a big hog ranch out in there. They run at large, you know, and everybody had hogs out in there and got a lot of wild hogs out in there. And they root the grass up in the pasture, you know, they'll mess up the pasture they come in.
Come out at
night.
To
get out here and get in your rye out here, they'll just eat it up and root it up.
Yeah. Come out when you're not there.
Yeah. You can't only find them either. You got to have dogs to catch them with.
Yeah.
To run them, find them for you. See, they light up in daytime and hide.
Yeah.
They're like a bobcat.
Bobcats don't run in day?
Yeah, they'll feed in daytime. A lot of them do. But they slip around in thick places.
Mr. Weaver, your dogs go out, they don't always just bark the same, do they? I mean, when they hit something, they change their bark, don't they?
Yeah, it won't be, it'd be something different.
Uh-huh.
You can tell the difference in it, and when the tree, they have a different bark.
Or they just yip, yip, yip?
Oh, they bark out a better, it's more musical sound than running than they just bark around the place. I don't like to hear them around the place, but
you
I like
don't?
To hear them running the fox and cats. It's altogether different. When they bark around the house,
what?
Well, they bark all different kinds of barks. Some say, ooh, oh, oh. Some of them bark this way. Oh, oh, you, oh, 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 oh. You hear all kinds of sounds in there.
Well, like when Penny get hold of that cat trail. Does that change your bark?
Well, you could tell. I could tell what that. See, I never run her up to nothing but fox and cat. She never run nothing but that. In her life. See, I don't let mine run stalk or deer.
Yeah, but like, say she's just, like say you just set her out, see, and she'd
go hunt for nothing but a fox or cat.
She, let's say she hadn't struck a cat yet.
And she won't bark open unless
she won't bark at all?
No. You won't hear her barking. She may hunt all day or all night and not even open her mouth unless she finds a fox or cat. And she finds a fox or cat, she'll open on the side and trail it.
What's she sound like?
Huh?
What's she sound like?
Just like the dog barking. They don't bark like a dog, a house dog or mine when you all come up.
Uh-huh.
They bark different, you know, today.
Oh, I see.
Mr. Weaver, you can back up here in the store and get yourself.
I'm all right. I'm
my
much
riches, this sort of weather gets seen to be so thin.
I told you I put on another pair yesterday. Now, that's a great
evening.
Yeah. I'll have to take them off after a while. I need to take off one of these shirts now, but I'm all right right now. Here's what I got to let get well.
You really got this. It's taking all the skin off. You're going to have a new new skin.
Yeah, that deep down in here where that was going to
be. Oh, that's pretty coming up underneath,
now,
though. Look
you
at
know
that. That's
what?
Just
so
as pretty intense as it can be.
Listen, I can't stand nothing to touch this, having it several days.
Yeah. I guess not.
Yeah, I've touched it once or twice since I've been burned, and I just haven't touched it. Now, this, it soon peeled off and cured up this on the corners here. My hand's all right on the bottom right. I can't even, I don't even want to see this. You can't get enough food with this up here. Get infection in it.
Oh, you reckon?
Oh, yeah.
You, if you'll just let it air, see this out,
yeah.
I can hit it.
Yeah.
Well, that air will do it.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, I use that old adhesive tape, but I don't put the tape on it. I put a little paper or something on there and put the adhesive tape on there just to keep things from rubbing it.
Well, the same main thing that you got to do with this, I'd have to tell my, it's burned all up in here, too. This is all peeled off.
Yes.
See, I don't wash this. Look here, I washed it in 3 weeks.
You see what he did, Mr. Trey? I told you that. Look at that.
You see, burned that all off, burned my eyebrows off, burned
kerosene,
my face.
Kerosene, you see.
And
why, Mr. Weaver?
It blowed up Sunday 2 weeks ago. In my face, you see, I've been trying to cool that cold morning. I was trying to get it to start, and it wouldn't start. Put match it down on paper, and went out. And after you
so
see,
peeked in there to see about it.
Then it went out so much, I started looking see if it what it done. You see,
yeah.
And about that time, here she comes, right up my face, just as I looked over into it.
My goodness,
it's a dangerous thing. Was there anything else y'all want to ask me about this? Or?
Something over that don't have much of
this. This is real rice. I mean, not rice, but it's rice and chicken. It's perlo.
Rice and chicken.
And,
okay,
and you can
thank
just
you.
And that'll be a and you heat it.
What else
okay.
Is he eat,
and I've got this little salad over here for him.
What did you see? What was it in that? That's what you were looking at.
I was looking at it. Tells here about a bobcat race right here.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
We'll find it. That's here.
Now, when y'all read it, I can't see good. The old, it all these is good stories. If you read these, then you understand when you more about what you.
That was that Texas race, wasn't it?
Texas cat. Says Texas cat. Where is that at now? And Spella said the same thing it said in this when we caught that and said, if I'd known you would have caught a cat this morning, we'd have went too. But they wanted to go after we caught the cat. That big cat couldn't be caught, you know. Oh. And this is story is kind of like about as near like that one as you ever read. This will give you maybe a little bit of idea. So.
You mean it's not in this one?
Yes, it's in this one here if I don't miss it somewhere.
Fox Race Registered.
It's in here. I'll come to it. But I think it isn't. Front part of it. But it must be wrong. Must be over towards the back. I'll find it. I found it a while ago.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I reckon you did.
Well, it is still in the front. Well, I'm letting leaves stick together, and that's what you're doing there. Confession. Yeah, I can't separate these sticks that haven't been handled in a long time.
That's
the Great Texas Cat. I reckon I'll. Now I'm going to let one of y'all read. I can't read. I can't see. It comes together on me. I can look at.
Fellow hunters, I'm a fox and wolf hunter, but I still like to go cat hunting once in a while. So I'll attempt to tell you my very exciting hour and a half my buddy and I had not long ago. It was on the Brazos River. It's about 4 miles from Barmington, Texas. We got up early one morning to go cat hunting as my friend, Mr. Pritchard, had told me that there were some big cats at a place on the river. We saddled up our horses, called Old Rowdy and Crybaby, and unsnapped Black Jack. These are purebred walker hounds of Double Trouble breeding. Double Trouble is his dog. We went by Mr. Pritchard's, but he couldn't go. So we took a couple of his pups and started out. We got to the river, and we're sitting on our horses waiting for the strike. Man, it was pretty. So still and wet. Buddy, I says, if we can jump a cat, we can get him for sure, as everything's in our favor. Well, there she goes, says Buddy, as Old Crybaby let out on a long, clear cry. She had a good trail, and pretty soon, Rowdy is right in there with his horn mouth fairly yodeling, and Blackjack with his turkey and squall. Mr. Pritchard's pups are moving too. They go south on Red Creek, moving pretty fast. Then here they come at full cry down the creek to the river. They sure were making music. They had a little trouble in the salt cedar brush around at the river. But these dogs are used to hard going and soon had him going again, this time for good. I was afraid we'd jump the wolf, and I was sure wanting to catch a cat. Buddy and I got on a rise where we could take it all in. Dogs would go down the river and back, then up the creek. They had been a-going for some time when they were coming down the creek and cut across the flatlands toward us. Buddy says, Lord, what a cat. And I looked up, and there he was, going behind a little bluff, Old Rowdy just about 20 feet behind, grunting and forgetting to bark. Excitement was really turned on then. Buddy was fairly settling the hammer down, making more fuss than the dogs. The cat went in a cave about halfway up the bluff. The den had 2 inches, one on top and the other where he went in. The dog couldn't get to either hole, so Buddy takes part of the dogs and goes around on top. I lifted Old Rowdy up so he could get into the hole. The cat went in. Whew! racket sure came after Rowdy went in on top of Old Tom. The old devil changed places with him and got a handful of dog ears, but soon saw that the old hound was stubborn. Out he came at the top hole, and the race was on again. They were in the open ground in deep washes. We could see it all. The old cat went down first one wash, then another. But old Jack and Crybaby were right there on him, and old Rowdy coming on, but he hadn't caught up since they got the run on him at the hole when he ran the cat out. Old Tom soon saw he couldn't get away, but he cut back right towards us and his hole, but he was too far from it. Crybaby was fairly on to him. She was really telling the world her mama was a hound. She caught the old cat about 30 feet from his hole. He gave a few rakes with his wicked feet, and she backed off. The old cat ran again, but she caught him, and then backed up. But old Rowdy was coming fast now, as he couldn't see the fight going on. He didn't even slow up when he hit the cat, and they rolled like two dogs fighting. I thought he had him, but he got away, went through a cedar brush, and back into his hole. But the poor old cat's number was up. He got a wire. We got a wire, and we ran him out. Rowdy soon killed him, while Crybaby and the pup sat around and bawled in the top of their voices.
Why
did
they do that for?
They're afraid to go in that cat.
Oh.
He gets slapped.
Oh. So they just sat around at a distance.
I lost the $35 fire glasses watching the cat fight one day. Running through the woods and out in my pocket. And I wanted to see this, and another fellow bragged about his dog being good fighters. I told him, I said, cattle whip every dog you got for one. So that, did you get through reading it?
Well, we're waiting on you.
Wait,
go ahead.
Wait, no, I didn't mean
it.
Oh,
you go ahead, it's done.
No, you,
oh, you go ahead.
All right. So that Mr. Keel bragged about Speedy and Rapper being so good, you know. Well, I went out that morning, and they went to coon hunting instead of cat hunting. My young dog struck the cat and went the cat right over for the stairs at, and their dogs fell in with him. So we was out there, and I was around watching, and I could tell he had some young dogs running my young dogs, and these other dogs, he had one in July was bad to cut and try to get ahead. He was cutting way around. These other dogs were running this cat. Well, I was running through the thick place out here, out there the other side of Zephyr House, trying to get the see the fight, because I wanted to see that cat whip those dogs of his. After a while, I heard one of my young walker dogs, about a year old, begin to holler. And I ran to him, and when I got there, he had the cat had him holding him this way, and he was looking around watching the other dogs this way, and none of the other young dogs wouldn't have him make him turn loose. But he had my dog holding him. So that, because they're all just about a year old, a little over a year old, two of Mr. Keel's and mine. So that, here come old cat, when I went up, the old cat turned him loose, set up by this way, and here come Mr. Keel's speedy dog. And when he did, the dog run up there, you know, and he did, the cat reached and grabbed him this way and pulled him down and beat him. When the dog got loose, the blood flew, and the dog went that way. Then the old cat got him setting up this way, and I just stand there
sitting
watching it. I just watching it, you see. And there come old Rapper. He come up there, his other fighting dog. He reached up and grabbed him, and when he got through biting him, the cat did and held him with his claws this way. He left that way bleeding. He didn't come back, and you couldn't get those two dogs back. So a big red rainneck trig that one of my cousins got me to bring from Alabama down here and sell for him. I'd let Mr. Keel have it. I told him, I said, that trig will kill a cat. So here he came. I knew he was a good fighter. So here he came up there, and old cat reached out. He didn't know any better. Run right up there. Cat grabbed him. Did he pull him down, went to bite him. This old trig just kept on and snorting and kept mashing. After a while, he got nearly to his throat, and then he kind of whined a little hard. He started to give back. Now, I just let him have it, you know, there. And after a while, old Trigger, he mashed back down there and kept pushing, got this cat to the throat. And after that time he was dead, one young dog walked up by and bit him a little bit on his hind leg. But old the trick dog, he wouldn't turn him loose. I just let him hold him. And he killed that cat by himself. But he is a long, strong dog, you see, and a good fighter. And
he's a year old?
He's about 4 years old. This dog had fought before, you see, and fought with other dogs, you know, and he knew to take punishment. So that I picked the cat up and we brought him on in. He weighed 25 pounds. He's a big cat, too. And so that...
25 pounds is a good-sized cat.
Yes, and 32 is that in that way that in the cut over yonder that nobody else's dogs couldn't catch, you know.
Well, most of them wouldn't have weighed, what, about 20 pounds?
Well, I had to carry. I didn't know it. I couldn't get nobody in town. Nobody wouldn't help me hold that dog, me to wash the blood off of my brother, one of my brother's dogs. Well, that cat, it's just as bloody as his whole head was bloody and body was where that cat had caught it. And his eyes covered up and it couldn't see. And when I got to Micanopy, I couldn't get nobody in town. I said, well, I know who will help me. And I just loaded her up and carried her running there. And we washed it off, and the cat had just stuck his claws in her head. But she had bled. Here's a sight how she had bled. And that was one of my brother's dogs, the black and tan that he had. It was black and tan in color. She was supposed to be a full-blooded Walker, black and tan Walker. But my brother and his wife wouldn't say they weren't going to spend no money on the dog. I said, I didn't ask you all to pay. I said, it's your old dog. What you want me to do about it? Y'all won't help me. Nobody won't help me. Doctor, treat the dog and get the blood off, see what's wrong. I said, if its eyes hurt, I want it fixed. So I carried on up there and went there, charged me $2.50 for just wash the blood off. I paid him. I said, I didn't expect you all to pay him. I carried your dog on. I said, I'm going to pay the bill.
When was that, Mr. Weaver?
That was the day that now you want that in there. That was the day that we caught that cat with Mr. Rush and them out there. That was
the same day.
Same day.
Two cat hunts in one day?
No, not that. That's a different cat hunt. But this was on that cat hunt where we caught it out that dirt that was telling about the dog getting caught, you know.
Oh, that was a different cat.
Oh, that happened.
That happened with Mr. Rush and them were keepers. We had all those dogs.
Yeah,
and
you said them. One of the dogs got hurt.
Well,
man, you had to take it to
the vet. I went ahead and finished telling the story then for him.
And that's the one that happened.
Yeah,
but
the trig didn't get hurt too bad because he just stayed with it and went on down and got the cat.
What's the name of that trig dog? Is that Thunder?
No. Thunder was a half walking, half trig.
Oh.
That was, let's see. What was he? Let me. But that's a different race, you know.
A trig dog don't look like a walker dog?
Yeah, look, it's a half walk and a half bird song cross. It makes
right.
A trig. And what was that dog's name?
Well, does a bird song look like a walker?
What's that? Bird song, well, a lot of them, well, all the walker dogs got bird song, July and all that breeding. Back in, way
yeah.
Back on when they're breeding them up.
Yeah.
You remember seeing Tennessee Lee's picture, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You seen the
Tennessee
Lee's
mm-hmm.
picture, didn't you? Well, that dog was picked up in Tennessee by a horse trader and carried to up in Kentucky and sold to Morphin, and Morphin let Walkers have it. That dog got it, and he was the first dog that had ever been able to run a red fox down in Kentucky that they ever had any history on. He run a red fox down and caught it. He wouldn't quit till he caught it.
Yeah.
That they ever had any history on. And that's where Tennessee Lead comes in, the Walker dogs and the bred. Then they got dogs from England and crossed in there too. That's where we get the white dogs, those come from England. Of course, you can breed the colors back any way you want to, just keep breeding certain colors of dogs. See, I went and bred back one to black and black blanket back dog. I don't like too much. I don't like that color, and then I like the white dogs the best. That's how come me with that ringneck and he over there now. And little Ann, you see, they both bark and do things I don't like. More like an old-fashioned dog would bark and do. Well, you see, the white dogs, they're quieter dogs and easier to handle.
Oh, are they?
And that's the reason that I like them the best, you see. And they're good dogs and win more field trials running, but they don't show as good on the bench as a black and tan and blanket-back dog.
Mm-hmm.
Shows on the bench.
Yeah.
They,
go ahead, let's hear a little more of that hunt, Rick.
Which one now? Which hunt now?
The one
it's,
reading,
it's about that crybaby went up and killed that cat, and the fellow says Blackjack went in and got him a hind leg when he decided the old cat was harmless.
That's where that happened with the tree.
Oh, that's why you thought.
Well, mm-hmm. He tied the old cat on the saddle and went in, and Mr. Pritchard said, well, I would have gone if I had known you were going to get one. But we never know till we go. That's what's interesting about it.
That's what several of the rest of them told me. Said I told them I was going hunting that morning, catch that bad cat, couldn't be caught. We tease each other a whole lot about that.
Now, what do you like about that, Mr. Weaver?
Well, that comes in there. That come in there, you see, about, you know, the man said that he told me, and when I come in, I don't know, Adam, all over the country said, if I'd known y'all were going to catch that cat that morning, I'd have went with you. I want to see that cat caught. And that man said the same thing to that man, you see.
That's right.
And now that's true. What I'm telling you is true stories. I'm not adding to it in like some people will, you know, and make it different. I try to make it be exactly like that the story is. Because I like true stories better than I do touched up.
Some of them, they'll touch them up.
Yeah, some people.
You can tell when they do that.
Well, not every time, not reading it, but that sounded about like the same story that we had over here, and about the dog, you know, and all getting back from one dog kill that cat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to have back in the 30s. I had a pack of dogs, man, kind of hardly ever got a scratch on the cat. I had one big red dog, red speckled dog. He was a half walker. His mother was full buddy walker. And the mate to Julie, little Julie, that y'all got the history of there.
Oh, is that Mayflower?
No, Julie.
Yeah, Mayflower, yeah, all right.
Mayflower's mother, these dogs I got up here. I mean, old Dan.
What was the name of that dog that was made to Mayflower?
No, that's little Ann. You got a record of that, too, part
sure.
of it. I didn't give you, y'all didn't get all of those stories. All of it, but you got quite a bit of it.
Go ahead with this.
Let's see, where was
that
I
dog,
now?
That dog that ran with Julie?
Oh, old John. I seen him one day, a cat squatted in a treetop. And the other dogs were circling around and all of them looking and smelling. See, they knew it was there close. All at once, I seen old John make a dive into a treetop. And when he went up, that cat grabbed at him this way, like they all do, you know, just sitting there ready for it. And when it jumped at him, he dodged sideways and grabbed that cat this way and threw him over there, and the cat just stretched back and died that quick. Mm. They can't stand that pressure in the chest, and old John knew it.
Oh. Oh.
And he killed that cat and didn't get a scratch before any dog run found it out ten steps from him. There's a lot of several dogs around at 10 steps. But they all rushed to him just as soon as they could and grabbed the cat, but he already had it dead. And I was wondering what dog it was that was killing those cats so quick when they got there. It was old John.
And you happened to see that?
And I seen it, you see.
How'd you happen to be up there?
Well, I'd eat up around there and wouldn't let the dogs pay no attention to it. My dogs run all around me because I don't say nothing. And now I don't bother the cat, but he'll run way over yonder, and I'll have to drive somewhere else to try to listen at him. I'll slip out there, and the cat comes up, I'll stay still. I stayed in the pass one day when the fox came right down the pass and jumped out here and jumped back in the pass and went on down below me and went on.
He got out of the pass and walked around you?
Jumped. Just one leap from right over there, over here, then right back in the pass and went on and never did see me, and he was standing right this way.
Why,
I had cats come through the week right up close that stove there. And the best joke on me, I had a little .22 pistol way back yonder, you know, and in the 30s, there's a cat. I told the fellow, I said, you walk right out there and I'll be up here. That cat's going to come right back out this way. And I said, if he comes out to me, I said, it's running here on the highway too much. I said, I'm going to shoot it. So I had that little old 22 pistol, you know, and heck, I seen the weeds moving that way. And I never heard that cat, and I was just as still as I could be. And as I looked down, just about like his foot from me right away, and it whipped on its back this way. I figured the cat had fallen. I knew it was going to go down when it seen me. I figured it'd fall from me, you know. It threw its back towards me, and I shot just over it. And I shot for it to fall from me. Mm-hmm. And it fell towards me and went right back and got away.
Mm. What do you mean, Mr. Weaver? It was creeping up through the grass?
Yeah, he was slipping out to go out and run and leave that thick place there and run across the open place to Buddy Huff's orange grove over yonder at Hickman. He's going to go and run off and leave the dog before they can get out there, you see, coming running through that thick place, you know. That's the way they'll do, dart in the thick place, squat around, walk all around with the dog and squat and lie down. It's you can't believe it hard unless you see it. The only way you'll ever believe it is to see it.
And you've been out there and seen them do it?
Oh, I've seen them do a lot of different things that way. I seen last year over yonder just out of Hawthorne, a young fox about that high came out, the dogs were running and then dodging in there, and there's three or four young ones and old ones around in there, and that makes it hard for the dogs to run. I seen him come out, he got up to the railroad, he looked up and down at this way, this track got away. He crossed over the first railroad track on the other side. He called up on it, and that little young fox came about, about 30 steps from me, 30 yards. He came that close to me, and he turned off that railroad track. And the dogs come up there, they couldn't smell it on there. But they eventually stuck around and picked the track up where he went off. I seen a young fox do that last year. And dogs learn to do that. I had an old dog 8 years old one time learned that when he went up to the highway, they'd go up to it, maybe right out of a thick place right close to the highway, then he'd run back in it, make another circle around, and come back again, he'd go back around. I've seen him come up around about the third time. He'd get up on that highway then, if he's got these dogs confused, you know, think they are. He'd get up on that highway and he'd run just as fast, he'd run way up the highway, hard surface, then he'd turn off. I seen no walker dog come up there.
That is a cat?
That's a fox.
That's a fox, yeah.
But the cats will do that, too. I seen, I said, well, Spotted Gator, he'll find him out directly that he's going out. I won't say nothing. I just let them alone. I stood down and watched him. Spotted old Spot circled on the other side of the road and went way down it. He could smell it all in the grass, you know, when he turned mm-hmm. off. He crossed on this side and he came back and he went back, circled around a little bit. Yeah, couldn't find where he went back to the third time. He pulled out on this side of the road and went way on up it and crossed over. When he crossed over way up above there, he smelled it. And it's plowed field he went across. And they can't fresh plowed ground, they can't smell it.
Oh.
I seen this dog go out and he got in that field. After a while, he stopped at a place and he wagged his tail this way. Smelled, circled around, he couldn't find where he went. Went back to that same place, put his nose right down there and he smelled good. He threw his head up and said, oh, 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 oh. He went to the edge of the woods. He knew not to strike trail through that flower ground. And he picked it up on the other side that way, and just in a few minutes, it's 3 miles from that time. I walked back to my car and a truck and drive 3 miles up the road. And I reckon it was 15 minutes before they could get that fox straightened out on that highway there. I seen that Trig dog down here on the highway this side of Hawthorne run a fox up by the way, and it's so close he went, he didn't follow it around 3 times. Third time he come back, he caught the fox by himself. I didn't kill the cat that morning. The other dogs were running another fox, and about that time they three did. He was running this one by himself. He caught his by himself. Things like that. Well, I could tell you plenty of stories way back down in the 6 and 7 about cat hunting. Oh. I know the first time I heard a squall made my, felt like my cap went up this way. I don't know if my hat pushed up or not, but it felt like it did.
First time you heard one?
I was by myself.
And you heard the cat squall.
Yeah, cat and dog was running there and saying, whoa. And our dog was on this side of me and I was between them. Boy, did I scrooge. It felt like my hat pushed my hat out.
And now you just a boy then.
Yeah, I wasn't grown. Oh, but I've done a lot of hunting before then, but
that's
a funny feeling, let me tell you.
that cat was giving them a warning.
And he left from there and got away from my dog that night, and after a while, my old dog, he eventually struck away up on a little mountain back in there and struck a fox, and we were running a fox all night then. But he didn't. That cat got away from us right there. He'd run up and down an old fence, rail fence. And he'd run up it, run down it, you know, and come back. And then he'd get up on that fence and run the fence.
Oh, run the fence.
And that's where he got away from the dogs and got on the other side of me, right from my piece back out behind me there. Then he squalled. And when he left from there, he got so far ahead of the dogs. My old dog was a better fox dog anyway. And he struck a fox, and all the dogs went to him, and they were on the fox then that night. But that was the cat he was first on. I could tell him where he barked.
Mm.
They changed their barks on tones of different things they're running.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. I could tell when he struck a fox and or anything. I could take him out one night, and he'd hunt all night long. He wouldn't bark after a thing but a fox. Come back in if he didn't find a fox, not even bark. Until he get back close to home, he'd see a possum or maybe a house cat and bark. I'd take a sack and axe and light and walk off from the house, and he is as good a possum dog as anybody wanted.
Oh.
Got no other dog.
Oh. You just take an axe and a sack with you.
Yeah, I'd done that with him, you see, and he'd learned when I walked off from the house, took a light, that, and if I blowed my horn, I'd go on the fox hunting.
Mr. Weaver, what dog was that old Jack Heron was talking about that he had let, as a red something, wasn't it? That he had let...
Max Mixon. Yeah. That was a walker dog that his uncle had give those boys up there in Georgia. He was a big fox hunter, his uncle.
Jack's uncle.
And they'd give, or somebody, is his uncle or somebody that he had hunted with when he was a little boy, you know? And they gave him that dog. Rattler is what they called him.
Rattler.
That's right.
He was a good dog, too. But he'd run anything. He wasn't like mine. See, mine had just run. See, I'd train mine myself. One man handling can train dogs. Now, you can't train many dogs like that. That's just luck. I don't want people to take the wrong impression that you can, because some dogs you can't change.
Well, Maxie liked him because he would run anything.
He'd run a deer, a hog, or anything. See, he'd run hogs, rabbits, and run around the place. See, Maxie just deer hunted with him. Usually, when they deer hunt, when they get over in the deer woods, they don't run as much, but a deer, they get used to it after you run them a little bit. A deer keep easy to run enough, except when they take a notion, they run off and leave the dog.
Is that right?
They can do that. And some red fox can do that, but not many of them, but not these good walker dogs that we have today.
That was Rattler that...
Yeah, that was Rattler. He was a lemon-spotted walker dog.
Lemon-spotted?
Yeah. Red-spotted or lemon-spotted. Oh, you take... when I was a kid, we had to work. We didn't get time to do nothing much.
Well, now, what he said, you know, Jack said he could take a sack out there and an axe, and he'll hunt possums, and he could take something else. You remember?
Uh-huh.
And he'd hunt that.
Well, I don't know. Now, Jack will make add little stories to some things, but ones I tell you is all true. And I tried not to make a mistake.
Well, how would that kind of work out if you wanted to run a rabbit, say?
Well, you can take dogs. Now, I could take those dogs I had, my fox dogs, and they'd run rabbits when I wasn't fox hunting.
Oh, is it?
They'd go out and run, see, and I'd let on the farm, I'd just let them run loose, you see.
Yeah.
Not like it is now.
Yeah.
I have to keep mine up all the time. Somebody else steal them or kill them or they'd like to get them
well, now this,
run
this,
over.
This rattler and the jackhead, you can tell him ahead. It seemed like quite jackhead.
Well, you can take them out and you can holler. A lot of people train them from puppies on up. Suey. That's to run a hog. And the dogs will, or some dogs will learn it, some won't. And you some
that's
dogs.
A wild hog.
Yeah, you've got to start when the puppies to do these things. And they learn what you're hunting for.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a dog is rather like my dog that I caught two possums with, you know. He'd rather run a fox. He was one of the best fox dogs that was in the country.
He just didn't care about running possums.
No, but he would if he knew that there wasn't no fox around close. We had to go 5 miles to run a fox.
I can see that because a possum is not much to it.
Well, he didn't care nothing about him ever did. There's a long time he may go with his mate. His mate would tree him, but he wouldn't. And a lot of things like that. Well, listen, I'm just taking up your time, and it's not helping you either to jump from one thing to another.
No, you're not jumping one thing to another.
Well, you need to just get on one subject. What you need to do is just get on one subject and keep that.
Take that with you.
What's this here? Is this that same?
Same stuff.
Same minute?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just fixing to start on taking the other bottle. Reckon this will be too much to take the two?
I don't know.
I'll just take it if you need it like I did this other.
Yeah.
You see, I was on two other kind of medicine. I was taking those word tablets one at night. And now I've got two of them saving those, and I was going to fix and start on this. You see, I don't like to mix medicine unless I know you can mix it.
Oh, no, that's all the same.
Can you take this with other medicine, too?
As Van Arnum says, and she says it's bland.
Bland. Here's Van Arnum.
She says it's weak. It just coats your stomach, and they all do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same thing as those words.
And I told her what you said was that you take one, and you sort of lose its force, and you need another kind.
Yeah, and you change around.
Yeah.
You have get better effect out of it.
That's real good.
You see, I'm taking that swamp root. You know, that's good for your kidneys. Swamp root is herbs, and it's good for your stomach anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm using it. I take it every morning when I first get up and drink a little water with it.
You want me to take Mr. Eagle?
I'll get one.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I hate that I took
I'll
up too much of your time.
Well, we are sorry about that, Mr. Williams.
Well,
I'm glad to see you, Mr.
Let me tell you, you were right about that oats out there. It did kind of wilt it.
Well, it looked to me like it was.
If I had noticed that myself, I wouldn't have waited until late this afternoon and the sun would bring it out, wouldn't it?
Well, it may take a day or two, it may sometimes take a shower of rain and it comes on up and takes care of it.
Yes,
I've seen it go flat from down and come up.
Yeah, I wouldn't have let them out if I had noticed it.
Well, thank you. I'm real sick.
All right.